Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 12, and we're going to look into the law of liberty this evening. We're going to look and read together verses 13 through 27, and we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have his way tonight. Can I get amen? So with that said, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Father, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, God of the Living. Aren't you so thankful that he's the God of the Living? Why? Because he has breathed life into us. We came into this world as we were thrust out of our mother's womb. We were physically alive, but we were spiritually dead. And as we, from an infant to a toddler, all the way to young adulthood, as we journeyed in this walk of life, until we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, until God intervened in our life, we were all walking dead. We were alive walking, but spiritually dead. And it was very clear and evident that throughout our childhood and young adulthood, all the way until the day we got saved, we were running away from God. Oh yeah, we were. Man, we were sprinting away from God. And yet God stopped us in our track. And he breathed into us life. And that spiritual life that comes from heaven. It doesn't come from earth, it doesn't come from man, but it comes from heaven. And this is why Nicodemus couldn't comprehend this. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. When Jesus says, you don't understand heavenly things. This is why he thought, how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be thrust out again as an adult? He didn't understand that there had to be a second birth. And that birth would come from heaven. And so let's look at these interesting scriptures that we're going to read and ask God to open up our understanding. I'm asking God that he would give us more revelation of his word. And when I say revelation of his word, nothing new out of the Bible, because the Bible's already forever settled in heaven. Something that would God reveal to you that you didn't see before, but it was always there. That's the revelation I'm interested in, not someone's make-believe revelation. Can I get amen? All right, so let's start with verse 13. Then they sent him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they had come, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are a true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Once again, these religious teachers of the law, all they were trying to do is entrap the Lord through trickery and through the wisdom of men. But praise God, you can't outsmart God. How many here can think they can outsmart God? Impossible. So you can never trap the Lord. He will put you in checkmate right away if you know how to play chess. That's the end of the game. Checkmate. Look at this in verse 15. Shall we pay or shall we not pay? Again, trying to make him choose one way or the other. But we're going to see how he deals with these religious leaders. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, because that's what they were. They were hypocrites. Watch out for religious folks. They look holy. They may worship God. And yet inside, they're filled with dead men's bones. They have an agenda to see what they can peel out of you and doesn't care about you. That's what these men didn't do. They didn't care about the common people. They worried about their own pockets, their own well-being. But they didn't feed the poor. But they dressed very well. Why? Because they would take the tithe money and lavish it on them. I don't think things have changed today. Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So they brought it, and they said to them, whose image and inscription is this? This is Jesus asking them. So they're examining the coin. Okay? And they said to him, it's Caesar. That's who it is. It's Caesar, the emperor, the king. And Jesus answered and said to them, okay, well, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. See, they couldn't trap him. So who do we pay tribute to? Do we give to God or do we give to the king? He said, well, give God what's his and give the king what's his. Wow. Come on, that's wisdom from above. That's not man's wisdom. Man's wisdom would have been, I don't know. And if he were to say one or the other, they would have said, oh. Because if he would have chose God, he would have said, you are rebelling against the king. And if you would have said the king, then guess what? You're disgracing God. Look at Jesus. He's the man. Say that with me. He's the man. Jesus is the man. Thank God for Jesus. Now look at this. Then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection. Now, okay, so they try to trap him here. Now they're bringing up another scenario. It's like ongoing, relentless, just trying to trick him. So then some of the Sadducees, because he dealt with the Pharisee, now here comes a Sadducee. They're all religious folks. It says, who say there is no resurrection? Came to him, and they asked him, saying, hey, teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, they painted a picture, again, trying to trap Jesus. And so they were saying, now, there were seven brothers. The first one took a wife and died and left no offspring. And the second took her and he died, and he didn't leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? You know, when I read this years ago, I asked that same question. Wait, man, this is a lady that was married seven times, had no kids, and the brother kept, there were seven brothers, and that brother died, and you know what? By the second or third brother, I would say, I won't go next near to this lady. This is a black widow. Something's going on here. But they were painting a picture trying to entrap the Lord. This is how foolish they were. For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? He had no clue what the resurrection was truly about. They had no clue about the power of God and what God was going to do in the dispensation that we live in now. Verse 25, for when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Wow! For those of you that completed the class last night in the foundations class, wasn't that awesome to know that we're going to be in a glorified body and we're going to be living in the New Jerusalem? Wow, and we're going to be like the angels, a body that will never die, A body that will never be corroded and never diseased and never afflicted. No more worries. God's going to wipe away every tear. How many of you want that kind of a life? Well, hang on. It's coming. God promised us that we would be like the angels. Matter of fact, we read in Scripture that we are going to judge angels. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Verse 27, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord had to put them in their place. And sometimes you got to put religious folks in their place. Because they may know of God or about God, but they personally don't have a relationship with him. They have a head knowledge of God's word, but no intimacy with him. This is what my ministry is all about here at Amazing Grace, is that you established a relationship with Jesus. Not with the pastor, not amongst us brethren and brothers and sisters. No, with Jesus, because when you're right with Jesus, guess what? You can be right with mankind. But if you're not right with God, you can't be right with one another, because you'll learn how to deceive and mock and trick each other. But when we're accountable to God, now that's a whole different ballgame. Now we know, hey, this is where my authority is from. Not from man, but from God. So let's break this down. Let's look at verse 13. And so then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to try to catch him in his words. So saints, the Jewish leaders would not be put off because they were so intent on killing Jesus. The Pharisees were a religious group opposed to the Roman occupation of Palestine during the time. The supporters of Herod were a political party. Just like we see today, no different. A political party that supported the Herods and the policies instituted by Rome. Rome was the enemy to Israel. Rome conquered them. Rome had a dictator, someone that brought in man-made laws. And they were very cruel people. If you read about Rome and what they did, they're the ones that invented the crucifixion. And as you approach Jerusalem, there were areas where they would have these roads and people on crucifixions as they walked. And they would like turn and smell the stench and see that it was to shame the people for rebelling against Rome. Wow. Totally different kind of law back then, wasn't it? So these groups would diametrically oppose beliefs, usually had nothing to do with each other. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes. But they were all religious. They all had a belief system. They all believed in something out of the Torah, but it never connected. They were always opposed to one another. Some believed in the resurrection. Some believed that once you die, it was over. Aren't you so blessed to know that we know that when we die, because we're believers, we'll be with Christ forevermore? How many believe that? Because that's what God's word says. But they didn't have none of this. So let's look at verse 14. When they had come, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one. And so now they're trying to puff him up. Oh, we know you're a man. You're the man of God. Trying to butter him up. Teacher, we know that you're true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. And so here's the hidden agenda. They were buttering him up to try to trap him. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So the men in this delegation, the men in these religious sections or sects, pretending to be honest men, all they did was flatter Jesus before asking him their trick question, hoping to catch him off guard. Aren't you so blessed? You cannot catch God off guard. Did you know when you're sleeping at night, he's watching over you. He's caring for you. He's appointed angels around you. He's keeping you in all your ways because God has purpose and a plan for your life. Can I get amen? And he's going to make sure he's going to complete his will in your life. All you have to do is walk in trust. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. That's who the God we serve. So they asked, is it right to pay taxes to the Roman government or not? Judea had been a Roman province since 63 BC. But the Jews had fairly recently been forced to pay taxes or tribute to Caesar. So it was basically enforced upon them. All they had to deal with was their tithe to the Lord. But when Rome came and conquered them, now they were really depleted. Now they were really suffering because now everything they earned had to go into taxes. They were taxed to death. Given their tax or their tithe to God and then taxed to Caesar. And so it was a hot topic back in the day. The Pharisees were against these taxes on religious grounds. The Herodians supported taxation on political grounds. The Jewish people hated to pay taxes to Rome because the money supported their oppressors and symbolized their subjection to these rulers, these tyrant, these cruel people. Just imagine if you were under that kind of a rule. And unfortunately, we see it no differently today. Look at all the people that are fleeing from other countries who are trying to get here. Why? Because they hate where they're at. They're under dictators. They're under people that are robbing them. They're coming here hoping to have some hope. And you can't blame all of them. I know there's some corrupt coming with them, but there's some legitimate ones that are looking for asylum. But nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Nothing has changed. Why? Because the heart, Jeremiah said, is deceitful, above all, desperately wicked. So mankind is always going to have that sinful side of him. This is why we need God. This is why we need Jesus. Can I get amen? This is why we need a Savior. We needed someone to deliver us from that sinful state of mind and place where we were. How many of you can honestly say that when he saved you, not only did he save you, but he delivered you? I was sharing the other day, when I gave my heart to Christ, man, I was strung out crystal meth, marijuana, cocaine, you name it. I shared that with our foundations class and our dear sisters. That wasn't you, was it? Yeah, it was. But you know what? God wants me to testify what God has done for me. Can I get amen? Never to forget. Now, he has forgotten every one of our sins. And he will not remind you of your sin. But God allows our memory to stay in place. Why? So we can testify and say, look what God has done. Amen. Look what the Lord has done in my life. Hallelujah. That you will shout it from the mountaintop and say, man, yes, I once was. Yes, that was me. Yeah, I used to do. But God, hallelujah, now he's my all in all. And if I'm addicted to anything, I'm addicted to God. Can I get amen? Amen. Come on. I'm addicted to him. Praise God. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, God. And so these guys were always trying to use trickery. So let's go to verse 15. Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, see, one of the things that God does, he does it so keenly, he does it with accuracy, He does it without any mistake. And you know what that is? He sees X-ray vision into your heart. He knows your motive. He knows your agenda. He already sees your thoughts. He knows everything about us. He peers through and sees the real intent of people. Isn't that something? You and I, man, we I like how my brother said, we could fake the funk all day long and portray who we are, but inside, that's probably not even us. God knows who we are. He knows these people. He called them hypocrites. You know, they had the pompous hats. They had the robes. They had the jewels. They, man, you know, they look, man, that, one day I want to be like him. No, you don't. Because he called them a whole bunch of whitewashed tombs. He called them vipers and snakes. He said, you are of your father, the devil. What? Man, I'm telling you. See, everyone thinks that Jesus was a little wuss. No, he was a man's man. That's right. He walked with authority. He spoke the truth. And he confronted these hypocrites. Knowing their hypocrisy, he said, why do you test me? Why do you test me? But he knew why. Because they were trying to entrap him. Here's what they were jealous of. They couldn't raise the dead. They couldn't give sight to the blind. They couldn't ever feed a 5,000 people on a mountaintop with someone's sack lunch and fed 5,000. They couldn't do those. So they were mad. They go, he's probably with the devil. And that's what they called him. They thought he was with Beelzebub, old Slewfoot. Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So they brought it. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, it's Caesar's. And so Jesus knew this was a trap. He knew they were setting bait and traps. You know, in the wild, there's some bears, they know when you set a trap, it's too easy for them to get that food. They knew, hey, there's something wrong here. They'd rather go run it down and capture it than to, oh, there's some free food right there. No, they're smart. I saw that on Animal Planet. Thank you, Jesus. But they were trying to trick him. But Jesus would answer. He asked someone to give him a Roman coin, probably a denarius. The usual day's wage for a laborer. It was a silver coin with Caesar's picture on it. The tax paid to Rome was paid in these coins. So he said, okay, give me that coin. So now in verse 17, and Jesus answered and he said to them, here's the fix. Bless you. You didn't hear that sneeze? I did. Listen. Thank you, God. Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And now, you know what marvel means? You know, in our term, they were tripping out. They was tripping on him. You know why? Because they didn't have his wisdom. They didn't have his smarts, his intelligence. He shot past their intellectual mind. He went straight to their heart, and he parted the sea of humanity, their humanism, their humanistic point of view. We got them now. Mm-mm. He came to fix it. Listen, there's some things in our life that they're simple fixes, but we fight God on it. So when God speaks to you, just say, you know what? Not my will, but thy will, God. Surrender it to him. Because he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So if you're obligated by Roman rule and you don't want to be hung on a cross or house invaded by them, give to what they want. And then he said, give the things to God that are God's. That's right. In other words, he told them, you know what? Keep on paying your tithe. Don't stop paying your tithe. But give them what they want. You know why? Because then you will be at peace. You'll be at peace with man, and you will be at peace with God. See, Jesus has the fix. He has the answers to all. How many believe that he has every answer for every predicament that you could find yourself in? He's God. That's right. All by himself. And he didn't need these religious guys to dictate, to give him the answers. He put them in their place. But guess what? Sometimes when you confront truth to lies, instead of saying, oh, wow, I didn't see it, thank you, they get mad at you. Who do you think you are? And they'll get in your grill. Now you've really made the devil mad. Oh, yeah. So Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to him. That is a coin bearing the emperor's image that should be given to the emperor. But in their question, the religious leaders used the word didomi, meaning to give. Jesus responded with the word apodomni, meaning to pay a debt. In other words, having a coin meant being part of that country. So they represented that country. So citizens should acknowledge the authority of Caesar and pay for the benefits according to them by the empire. Listen, how many of you have gotten letters from the IRS when you failed to pay 1 year? I think we've all kind of been there. He's going to get his regardless somehow, some way. So here's what we do is, all right, I got to render what's theirs so that they won't come in and put levies on me. What's a levy? They'll freeze your bank accounts. They'll come and take your home. They'll do it in a way where you go, wow, this is not lawful, but to the law of the land it is. And this is no differently what they did in the Roman times. But Jesus always had the fix. He knew how to deal with people's hearts. So the Jews may not have been happy about the situation at all. I wouldn't be. But God had placed Caesar on the throne and Judea under his rule. God allowed it. Some of you don't like our now, right now president, but God put him there. The president before him, God put him there. The president that will come after this president, God will have placed him there. And so how do we deal with it? We say, well, you know what, Lord? Let your will be done. And I've learned to do this. Just pray for the man that's sitting in that seat. Regardless of his administration and the way he operates, you just, hey, listen, I had to deal with 8 years of things that I didn't like. But there was nothing we can do but say, okay, God, you put him there. And we used to pray for him. Oh, God, give him wisdom. No differently from the man that's there now. You pray for him. Can I get amen? And let God be God. Because God is the one that raises up governments. Thank God. How many are so blessed to know that we do have a government and we do have law and order in our land? Oh, come on. Just imagine if we didn't have peace officers. Huh? Man, you would have to really bar up your house. Triple bar it. Sleep like this, one eye open and one eyed asleep. But we can have peace at night. We got a military. We got law enforcement. That's right. You know what? Back in the day, I didn't care for those guys. My brother used to tell me, my brother. I have five brothers, and when we were kids, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, we would always, you know how brothers get, they play? We'd play cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians. We did all that. But when we played cops and robbers, every one of us, me, G, Norbert, Dale, we were always the robbers. My brother David was always the cop. And today, he's an investigator for the DA's office. 30 years in San Diego Police Department. He was the cop. And he would come to me, him, my uncle on my mom's side. They used to come to me back in the day when I was dealing and doing all that. They sat down and said, you know what? They're watching you. We can't fend them off any much longer. They used to come warn me. I look at it back then, as I look now, God's hand was upon me. God didn't allow me to go to prison. I didn't even have a speeding ticket. Can I get amen? Because he saw the plan of my life. Listen, when God has a plan in your life, nothing, I don't care what you've done, will alter God's plan for your life. Can I get amen? God shielded me and gave me a right mind, a mind to love him and to serve him, to honor him. And when he delivers, he delivers. Can I get amen? But see, you know what? We have to learn. We have to learn to accept things in our country. I'm so blessed to live. How many of you would want to live in Venezuela right now? Have you seen any of the footage there? I have. They're eating out of dump trucks. They can't wait for towns. They can't wait for the trash truck to come around, and they open it up, and it's all the maggot food. And they go in there and eat it because they have nothing else to eat. That's horrendous. Did you know a person here in the United States that's on welfare, social services, is a king and a queen to someone or to a town in Venezuela? But all God is saying through God's word is this, is what Jesus was making a statement to these Pharisees. Yeah, we'll render what's God, we'll render what's Caesar's. But he was telling all of us, and he's telling us, honor the law of the land. Just honor it. And praise God where we live. I'm thank God I was. He chose that I was born here. I didn't choose it. Did you choose to be born where you were born? No. It was God's plan. But look what it says in the book of Romans here. It says, every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Paul wrote this to the Roman church. Listen, submit yourself. Praise God. And when I got my mind back and when God saved me, I saw then that, you know what? Thank God for the authorities. Thank God for good and well-intended. Now, there's corrupt cops. Trust me, there are. Pastor T.A. used to run them down on me. They're really corrupt. There's some that are very racial. They are. But there's the good and the bad and the ugly and everything in life. Can I get amen? But overall, God set up the authority. God set up the let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. So God instituted it. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God appointed our government. God appointed our law enforcement. God imported the system that's here. Why? So that we would be governed, not in a perfect society, but a society that can exist. Where we can have families and we can have jobs. And we can raise up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We can have religious liberties. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. And that's what I did. I was... You name it. I was mixed up with a whole bunch of bad people. I resisted the authority. But it says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists. You're resisting God now. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Praise God. I'm so thankful that he pulled me out of that lifestyle in time before I was destroyed. I could have ended everything in my whole life. I probably would have never had an opportunity to meet my lovely wife in that future of that time. No, but God came. He came to rescue me. He came to rescue you. Can I get an amen? God did it. Why? Because he loves us. He has a plan for us. Never for one moment think you're a mistake or you're an accident. Can I get an amen? It's the providence of God that we are here today because of him. Look at this. For rulers are not a terror to do good words, but to evil. Rulers, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister. You know, those guys, let me just say this. If you came home and somebody ransacked your home, took everything, I mean, they just busted down the door and ripped you off. Are you just going to sit down, wow, man? Or are you going to call the cops? What's the first thing we do? Let's call the cops. Well, guess what? God said those cops is a minister of God to do good. But if you do evil, be afraid for he who does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Who do they apprehend? They apprehend the bad guys. They're supposed to now. And that's the whole intention. Yeah, we all know there's corrupt guys. And they deserve to be apprehended by true authority. Can I get an amen? But God is saying, if you do good in life, God's going to bless your life. If you walk with integrity, you walk with sincerity, you walk with honesty, and you love one another, and you help each other, and you raise each other up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, instead of trying to find fault, you find, how can I build your life? How can I help your life? How can I enhance your life? And when we have that mindset, guess what? We'll never have that minister that's sent by God knocking at our door. Can I get an amen? Well, because we'll be living at peace with one another. Thank you, God. God's planned out our life. Look for, therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for the conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministry. Yeah, man, the IRS. Yeah, they are, man. Attending continually for this very thing. Render, therefore, to all that they're due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom have honor. And so when you learn to walk in the ways of God, man, he will bless your life. And how many want to live a blessed life? All of us do. And guess what? Can I give you a secret? He has been blessing your life. Yes, he has. People that are not walking a blessed life wouldn't want to even be in the house of God listening to receive the things of God. They'd be outside of these walls up to no good or have no desire for the things of God. We're here because we're blessed by God. We're his blessed children. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Or be reminded of it? So the Jews had a responsibility to remember that everything that belongs to God must be given to God. And while they lived in the Roman world, the Jews had to face the dual reality of subjection to Rome and the responsibility to God. So now let's move on to verse 18. Then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection. Now that it went from paying taxes to rendering to Caesar. Now they're talking theologically now. Now they're really trying to pick his brain. So then some Sadducees who said there was no resurrection came to him and asked him, saying about the resurrection. See, the Sadducees, saints, listen to this. They were at odds theologically with the Pharisees. So there was a conflict with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. This is like Pentecostals and the Baptists. The Pentecostals believe you can lose your salvation. The Baptists, no, we're sealed to the day of redemption. There's got to be a medium there. There's got to be somewhere in the center there. Things haven't changed today, have they? Same thing. They had doctrinal differences because they honored the Pentateuch. You know, who knows what the Pentateuch is? No. No. The Pentateuch. It's the five books of Moses. The first five books. That's the Pentateuch. King. The Torah is the Old Testament. But the Pentateuch is the first five books. So they all read out of the same book, but they all came to different conclusions. So they would always bicker and argue amongst each other. No different than today. There's a camp that says, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And then there's another camp that says, no, tongues is a gift. Can I get an amen? Let me just say this, and then I'll move from this. I've been married to this wonderful lady for 22 years. In the first 10 years, she didn't speak in nobody's tongue, but her own tongue. Can I get amen? And she showed me more fruit of the Spirit than some man that was all, you know, da, 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 da. And yet, man, they were mean cusses. They're ready to snap you off. You cross them wrong. I didn't see no fruit. Yeah, but they were rabbi be 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 ba 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 ba. No, yeah, man. You know what? It's not about that. Can I get an amen? If you truly are born of God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And when you're operating in that, man, that is the fruit of the Spirit. That is a sign that, you know what? This person loves God, man. They have died to self, and they want to live for God. Can I get amen? Now, I'm always encouraging, but desire the gifts of God. Don't just stop there. Desire everything for God, and he'll give you everything that you will want from him. Can I get amen? He will not withhold anything that's good. Thank you, God. So now, then some of the Sadducees said, there is no resurrection. And they came to him, they asked him saying that. So then they said, teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind, leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Man, these people wouldn't quit. I think you and I would have said, enough already. But they were relentless. They kept coming and pressing him, trying to trap him. They hated him. You know why? Because the people started to honor him. They weren't honoring these religious folks no more. How can you honor religion? Especially when all they showed was a whole lot of cruelty and anger. No love and compassion came forth from these religious folks. So God used the Word of God. God is the Word. Can I get amen? Jesus is the Word. So he just used the Word on them. Look what he says right here. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, then the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside of the family. He's now taking it back to Moses. I'm gonna show you guys what Moses wrote. And so her brothers shall go into her, take her as his own wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that name will not be blotted out of Israel. So God had order, but they were trying to find angles to come against him and entrap him. How many are so blessed that you can't do that with God? So the main purpose of the instruction was to produce an heir and guarantee that the family would not lose their land. The book of Ruth gives us an example of that, and we don't have time to go into that. But let's move on to this chapter, because God's unfolding something here this evening so that we would understand that God is requiring us that we would continue to have a relationship with Him, and that we are not to be under a rule. Can I get an amen? Because religious folks will put you under a rule. They'll put you on the do's and don'ts. For those of you whoever bought real estate, whoever bought a condominium or brand new subdivisions that have CC&Rs, you know what that means? That it's like HOA and CC&R. CC&Rs is covenants, conditions, and restrictions. This is what you can do in here. This is what you can't do in here. Rules and regs. I feel bad for this one sister I helped. She helped her move from East Link to Rancho Bernardo, and everything just beautiful, the whole place. Until the third day she was there, third or fourth day, the neighbor upstairs blasts her music until midnight. And guess what? She's on the HOA board. There's no one to complain to. And now it's getting ugly. There's attorneys been drawn up. I gave her all the disclosures, and the seller did not once disclose that that was a nemesis up there. Wow. It's awful. But those things happen, huh? And so this law called Liberate Marriage protected the widow, but they were still trying to entrap him. So look how Jesus takes care of this matter here. Now, here's the painted picture. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. The second took her, and he died, nor did leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. So the Sadducees took their hypothetical situation to a rather ridiculous length as they tried to show the absurdity of the believing in the resurrection. The woman in the situation they described had been married seven times to seven different men, all according to the law. The Sadducees reasoned that since there was that this was in the law, there could not be a resurrection. They didn't understand who Jesus was. Remember when Lazarus had died in the book of John chapter 11, and Jesus intently waited 4 days to make sure that he was dead, stinking Lazarus dead. And the reason why he waited 4 days, because on the fourth day of someone that has died, without being embalmed and without having any refrigeration, they didn't have refrigeration back in the day, skin worms set in on the fourth day. This is why Jesus rose on the third day. He didn't rise on the fourth day. Because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen? So, when Jesus came to the town of Bethany, who was the first one to greet him? Martha. And she ran to him and she says, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Well, if you catch that, he had to tell her, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And anyone that lives in me, he will never die. And then he said, do you believe this? And so these Pharisees and Sadducees, they painted a picture and didn't realize that Jesus was the resurrection. And because he rose again, we as believers will rise again with him. Can I get amen? Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of what he's done in our life, you and I who were lost in darkness, he resurrected our soul. It was so dark, but he made us come alive unto him. And now we're walking around. You know, when I do a funeral, I leave them these last principles in every funeral I do because I wanted to drive it home. I said, there's three types of death and there's three types of life. The Bible talks about it. The first death is this. We come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead. Then, during the course of someone's life, that physical body must die. It goes back to the dirt. But the most horrendous death is the third one. It's the most atrocious death. It's eternal death. Without Christ, you're cast into the lake of fire, forever tormented. But then I say, here's the good news. There's three types of life. We come into this world, thrust out of our mother's womb, physically alive. Somewhere during the course of our life, God will come and intervene and draw us to himself. And by faith, we become born again. And at that moment, he gives us spiritual life. So we have physical life now, and now we have spiritual life. But the greatest life of all is eternal life. Hallelujah. When this body finally expires, we will be with him forevermore. And as we've been reading, hallelujah, as we've been reading in the book of Mark, we saw a glimpse a few chapters ago. How many of you recall that James and Peter and John, they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And who was on top? Who was up there?
Elijah.
Come on, who else?
Moses.
Who else was there?
Jesus.
So guess what that represented? They saw something that they never seen before. Number one, they saw Jesus as grace and mercy. Then they saw Moses, because Moses represents the law. And then they saw Elijah, who represents what? The prophets. So all three were up there. But what was the greatest thing they saw? They saw the new body. They saw that that's the body that God has promised us. So when they saw, because it was so bright, they couldn't, they turned, they go, oh my God. But and they would look and they would say, that's Elijah, that's Moses, and that's Jesus. But it was so bright. If they would have stared at it, their eyes would have been blind because the light and the glory was there. And this is why God will not allow us to see him face to face in this flesh, because we will disintegrate. We have to have the same body like his to see him face to face. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And guess what? He's promised us that. This is what he tried to get across to these guys. He tried to get across. And Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. No. They just rose up and in indignation. They were jealous of him. They hated his guts. You know, there's some people, I'm serious, instead of rejoicing in your happiness, they'll turn their hearts and hate you for it. Instead of rejoicing with you, say, man, I'm so thankful God blessed your life. They'll look at it like, they don't deserve that. And they'll look at all the bad and all the wrong you've done. And can I get past that? Instead of saying, you know what? I forgive them too. And let me pray for them. I pray that their life in Christ will flourish and be a flower. My goodness. It's easy. It's so easy to be a Pharisee. But it's a little tougher to be Christ-like. Because there's some things that we have to die to. As we come in for a close, we got about 5 minutes here. Jesus wasted no time to deal with their hypothetical situation. They were conjuring up, making a story, but went directly to their underlying assumption that the resurrection of the dead was impossible. Jesus clearly stated that they were wrong about the resurrection for two reasons. Number one, they didn't know the scriptures. And number two, they didn't know the power of God. So Jesus had to tell them, for when they rise from the dead, they're not married anymore, nor are they given into marriage. Praise God. Whatever ties you had on earth, you are now a new creature. I don't care if you had 5 marriages. I don't care if you had 80 grandchildren. It don't matter. You are brand new in that resurrection body. You are no longer married. I will see my precious wife, but we can't say, oh, she's my wife. It won't be like that no more. And one of the things that I've heard it said is when we have these brand new bodies, we'll still enjoy food to eat that God has prepared in heaven, but we won't have that sinful body. For after a few hours, we have to go and get rid of the waste. That's flesh and blood. We're not going to have flesh and blood. We're going to enjoy, because in Revelation, we will be sitting with God at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God's going to serve us. And guess what? While we're in heaven and he's serving us, while we're there, the wrath of God is being poured out on this earth. Because he's going to take his bride out. Ask yourself this, because there's some people, well, you know, I believe we're gonna see, you know, tribulation here. Really, listen, you have to look at it in a practical sense. If there is a couple being married, and let's just say they're a week away from being married, and the husband says, you know what, I'm gonna get this off my chest, I'm gonna beat her to death. And now she's going to come up to the altar like this, all beat up and tore up. Jesus is not going to do that to his bride. We're his bride. He's going to remove us, and then the wrath will come to the unbelieving world that rejected him, that were playing church. All these religious organizations, all they want is, what can I get out of you? And don't even care about you. Don't even call you up. How you doing? But they'll shake you up upside down 3 times before you leave. For when they rise from the dead, they'll neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels. We're going to be like angels in heaven. My goodness, they're going to be angels up there called angel. That's Brother Angel. Look at this. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him saying, I am God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. They missed it. They were blinded with their own sin, their own hypocrisy. They were blinded, trying to entrap the Lord. My goodness. So in closing, Peter and Timothy wrote this wonderful passage of scripture, and let us go home with these. It's right up here. Look at this. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to the things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that long-suffering, meaning be patient of our Lord, who is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. God wrote this to us, saying, now listen, we as believers, let's walk in his grace, walk in his love, walk in his peace, be kind to one another, lift each other up. Look at this. As also in all epistles, meaning all the things that were written, speaking them in these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist. They twist things to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Be careful who's giving you a Bible study. If they're not mentioning Genesis all the way to Revelation, I would run out of there. You need to tell me truth. You need to tell me the times we live in. Don't just preach your agenda. Preach the things of God. But there's people that will twist it. God wrote it here. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you all fall from your steadfastness. God doesn't want us to fall away. Being led away with the error of the wicked. Who's the error of the wicked? The world. Religious folks. He doesn't want us to be led away by wicked people. But grow in the grace, hallelujah, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Is that an amen moment? Amen. Amen. I want to grow in Christ. What I learned yesterday, I'm going to learn more today. And tomorrow, I want to learn more tomorrow. You know why? Because that keeps me. The Word of God keeps me. Keeps me motivated. Keeps me strong. Keeps me steadfast. But if you're not in his word, you won't desire the things of God. And I close with this. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. Aren't you so blessed to know that you are his? Amen. We're his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You mixed up in porn, you better run from it. You mixed up in alcohol, you better run from it. You mixed up in all these devices, run for it. Are you bitter and angry and unforgiving towards someone? You better get right with God. Because he says, depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, and some for honor, and some, unfortunately, for dishonor. How many want to be in the camp with the honored? I want to be with people that walk with integrity and with honor. I don't want to be in the air in that ugly camp. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. This is why I study God's word. This is why I teach God's word. Because you know why? I want to be used by the master. I'm sold out for Christ. I don't know about you, but I am. But you know what? Those who keep coming back for the word of God shows me that you're sold out too. Flee all useful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. The religious folks were showing you their true colors. But God is saying, don't walk like the religious folks. Walk in faith. Walk in love. Look at that. Flee also useful loves, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Oh my gosh. Things I've heard over the past week, Foolish. Foolish disputes. Ignorant disputes, knowing that all they do is generate strife. It's like picking a fight. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. Be patient with them in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. So if they're willing to listen and you minister to them and they're willing to say, you know what, God, I thank you for showing me the error of my way. And God, Fix my heart, God. You've done your part. You've done what God asked you to do. And give them an opportunity now to repent before God. Look at this. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Because that's what the religious folks, that it was the devil speaking to Jesus. Because they were wrapped up in religion. And that's what the devil wants to do to us today. He wants to put us in a snare. He wants to put you in a headlock and make you cry uncle. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. To do whose will? The devil's will. This is where you have to rise up in faith and you got to bind the devil. Can I get amen? You got to bind old slew foot. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Hey, listen, I ended perfectly. I said I was going to teach for an hour. I ran out of material. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Man, we serve a mighty God, don't we? Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love him? Even when we have to sometimes receive correction for him, we say, oh, God, thank you, Lord. I was headed this way. But God, you took your staff and you kind of like, you nudged me to get back on your perfect road. And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for the book of Mark. Thank you, Lord, for your insight. Thank you for teaching us, God, that there's good, the bad, and the ugly. And Lord, you've come to rescue us from our own self, let alone from the snare of the devil. Oh God, continue to teach us your ways. Help us live and strive toward perfection. Help us, God, when we slip, when we fall, when we choose not to obey. Help us, God. Give us a heart to repent when we need to repent. That we wouldn't fuss and fight, but we would surrender. We would say, oh God, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of flesh? And we've read, only you can. So God, thank you for the saints that have pressed out this evening. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for the faith that you've instilled in us. Thank you, God, for the endurance that you have given us. I pray for each and every one of us that you would strengthen our faith, that if there's correction needed, Lord, God, that we would allow you to correct us. Because it's to help us, never to hinder us, because you want the best from our lives. You want us to glorify you and magnify you, that people can see and watch our life and say, there is a God in heaven, and I want what they have. Oh God, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for giving us hope. And for those who are listening to this message right now that have never given their life to you, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, but know this. This is not a magic prayer. This is not something that we just say and then it happens. No. It's the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just a tool that you have given sinful man here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. Thank you for the tool and the power of prayer. And so if you're listening and God is speaking to your heart right now, just cry out to him. He hears and sees your situation right now. Pray this simple prayer by faith and allow God to be God. And walk in faith Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. Help me live the life that would honor you. Come into my heart. Bless my life now, God. I praise you and give you the glory. I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Come on, is God worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.